This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio.
National Broadcasting Company presents Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Walk this way, Diamond.
If I do, well, I tell my friends. Hey, this is the morgue.
Yeah, wise guy.
You should feel right at home here, Otis.
Oh.
Hello, Rick.
Hiya, Walt. What goes here?
I want you to take a look at someone. You know who this is, Rick?
Oh, the poor little devil. He was murdered, huh?
Yeah, shot. Right in the back.
And here's another exciting half hour with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Yeah, you run something.
How do you do? Are you the manager of this little haven of rest?
A boarding house. I run it.
I heard you both times.
What do you want, huh?
Information. Your move.
You nuts or something, huh? You nuts?
I'm looking for a girl.
What's the matter? Read the sign. It says rooms for rent. Rooms. Beat it.
You know, if you ever get around to running at 33 and a third, you'll save a lot of breath.
Smart guy. Real smart guy. Now, I got work.
Wait a minute. Here's $5 if you can tell me about a girl named Elaine Tanner.
For $10, I couldn't tell you a thing. Don't know her.
She lived here?
So, it's a secret from me, a secret. Now...
Here. Take a look at the snapshot. A man and a girl. Do you know the girl?
Mister, I got maybe 10, 20, 30 different people every month. They come, they go, they pay rent. That's all I care, they pay rent.
All right. Did this girl ever pay rent here?
Maybe I remember her face. I never remember. No names.
Is anybody living in her room now?
Why you want to know? Huh?
Well, I'll tell you a secret. But the girl is my sister. When we were little kids, my mother and father ran away from home to become acrobats in a circus. This broke up my sister, and she left too. Now, Mama and Papa are back, and I want the whole stinking family together again so we can take the light out of the window.
Sure. For $10, maybe I'll show you her room.
All right, you're in business. Now, here's your $10.
Thanks.
The fingers are mine.
Down this way.
How long does she live here?
Oh, not for long. Maybe 2 weeks.
Then what?
Then comes an old guy one day. Yeah, an old guy and...
And what?
She goes away with him. And you know what else?
Yes, I know what else. The old guy was the same guy in the snapshot I showed you a minute ago. He was with a girl.
Sure. Okay, look around. She ain't in any of them drawers, she ain't. Or that cupboard, she ain't.
She ain't no place. Now tell me, did she leave anything here at all?
Just junk. Newspapers, magazines, newspapers.
So she was a bookworm. Well, okay, I guess that's it. Let's go. Let's get out of here fast.
Who are they shooting at?
Who's in that house next door where the shots came from?
People.
Thanks.
They're shooting at you.
Know anybody who wants to get rid of you?
Nobody. Oh, mister, please go now. Now.
Look. There's $20 more if you do me a favor.
I do you one favor and get shot at. Who knows what'll happen for 20, huh? Who knows?
Twice as much fun. Now, look, go through the stuff she left here.
I told you there wasn't nothing.
Well, go through it anyway. If you find anything that might give me a lead, call me up. Here's my card.
Richard Diamond, private detective. Hey, it says you're a dick.
Strictly private. Now, is it a deal?
$20 now?
There'll be more if you find something for me.
Okay. No, please beat it. And don't come back here no more. Window glass costs dough.
I knew it wouldn't do me any good to look at the house where the shots came from, because whoever played me for a clay pigeon would get out fast. Now, only one person knew I was likely to visit that boarding house, the man who sent me there. And his name was Morris Clinton. Vocation? Multimillionaire. Avocation or hobby? Wolf. And an old one at that. But why should he take a shot at me? Thinking like that figured out to a heart-to-heart talk with Clinton, so I went to see him. But if he knew anything, he played it straight.
Shoot at you? But that's ridiculous.
Well, I agree, Clinton, but look at my side of it. This morning, you sent your chauffeur to my office to bring me here. Then you hired me to find a girl for you, a girl named Elaine Tanner.
And she wasn't there.
Right, she wasn't there. Just an empty room in a boarding house.
That's all the information I could give you about her.
I'll even buy that. I've worked on less information before, but here's my point, Mr. Clinton. I was shot at. I'm used to it, but I don't like it.
I told you, I know nothing about that. Believe me, Mr. Diamond, I know nothing about it.
I do believe you. We'll just say someone doesn't like my poking around that boarding house. Have you got any idea who that might be?
No, I haven't. I swear it.
Okay, I'll wrap it up right now. As I said, I've been shot at before, but you've been so pleasant, Mr. Clinton. From here, the price goes up.
You don't want to go on with the case?
Not at these prices.
All right, forget it then. I gave you $100 this morning. Keep it. And forget you ever saw me.
Oh, you're so sweet. It'll be a pleasure.
Diamond, just a moment.
Yeah?
What has happened is between you and me?
Oh, yes. Oh, I will have to report those shots.
What?
Sure. The police don't like to have people taking pot shots at each other. It makes for confusion in a big city.
Wait, Diamond, wait.
Something else, Mr. Clinton?
I have my own reasons for not wanting anyone else involved in this. I'm sure you and I can come to an agreement.
Oh, well, it's just possible, Maury, that you and I may not see wallet to wallet.
What would you say if I offered you $1,000 bonus to keep on the case?
Offer or suggestion?
I'll make it a deal.
Put it on paper. A check.
Can I trust you?
Okay, Clinton, if you feel that way about it, post-date the check. A week from today. If I don't show up with Elaine Tanner by then, the check is yours again. Uncashed.
Very well. Here you are.
Thanks. So long, Mr. Clinton. I'll keep in touch.
Where are you going now?
Back to my office to wait for a phone call from the little guy at 118 Parker Avenue.
Oh.
Well, hello there. Did you hear everything you wanted to?
I beg your pardon, sir. I was just coming in to ask Mr. Clinton if I should drive him anywhere this afternoon.
Oh?
Victor, come in here.
Right away, Mr. Clinton. Excuse me, Mr. Diamond.
Yeah, sure. So long, Christopher. The minute I left Clinton and Chris, I began to get that lousy feeling again. The only thing that made me feel anywhere near normal was the thought of the $1,000 that would be mine in 7 days. For $1,000, I'd stand up for target practice for the big mole. I didn't have much to go on, just the knowledge that old man Clinton wanted me to find Elaine Tanner and that somebody, who up to now had proved to be a bad shot, didn't want me to find her. With that peaceful thought in mind, I sat in my office hoping for a call from the little manager of the boarding house on Parker Avenue. I'd been waiting about an hour, and then... save your knuckles and use a fire axe. Come on in.
Hello, Mr. Diamond.
Well, Christopher, all your driving finished for the day?
Mr. Clinton sent me to see you, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, this is the second time today. What's he trying to do, make dear friends of us?
Not exactly, Mr. Diamond. He wants that check back.
What?
He's changed his mind.
Oh, from what I know of him, it needs it.
He wants to call off the whole thing. Something happened.
Elaine Tanner show up?
No.
Oh, and he sent you to get the $1,000 check back.
That's right, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, I know an easier way. Why doesn't he just stop payment on the check?
I'm only carrying out Mr. Clinton's orders.
Are you?
Why do you ask that?
That seems a little offbeat, Chris. This morning he hires me, then he fires me, then he hires me, now he fires me. Monotonous, isn't it?
May I have the check, Mr. Diamond?
Not before I call Clinton and ask him a few things.
You just don't seem to understand, do you?
I want Mr. Clinton to explain.
Take your hands away from that phone.
Oh, gun, huh? I know how I hate him.
No need to be afraid of this one unless you get stubborn.
Let's give Clinton a ring.
Keep your hands on top of the desk, palms down.
So we're going to play table tilting, maybe?
And stay sitting.
Listen, Chris.
How do you like your hair parted, Diamond? On the side or right in the middle?
When I opened my big blue eyes, my office was dark. And the neon light on the hotel across the street flashed the news that it was dark outside, too. I'd been out cold for a long time. When the room stopped spinning, I reached out, grabbed a piece of it, pulled myself up, went to the water cooler, splashed myself alive. I started toward the light switch when... This time, I was going to be ready. I got behind the door and waited.
Uh, Watch here, dear. Hey, let go!
Oh, for the love of Mike.
Otis, Sergeant Otis.
Well, who you expect, Gorgeous George, maybe? Let go my neck.
Oh, I'm sorry, Otis. I guess I just can't resist you.
You crazy shamus. Hey, it's dark in here.
It was a lot darker a couple of minutes ago. Hit the light, will you?
Yeah.
Thanks. Oh, I got enough troubles, and the first thing I see when I wake up is you.
Holy mackerel. What you been doing with your head, Diamond?
I got mixed up in a handball game.
Oh?
Yeah, some friends needed a ball. It's hard work, but you get used to it.
Oh, got worked over, huh? Well, them bum jokes you pull catch up with you sometimes.
Yeah, I would. Hey, wait a minute. What are you doing here?
I come to get you. Lieutenant Levinson wants to see you.
Well, go back and describe me. That's all he gets tonight.
I think you better come, Shamus. It's important.
I think you better go, Otis. That's important.
Now, look. Lieutenant Levinson sends me over to get you. There's something he wants to ask you.
All I know is name, rank, and serial number. Now, go back and tell Walt I don't want to play games.
Shamus, I got news for you. Murder ain't a game no more.
That's all Otis would tell me, but I didn't like the way he kept looking at me all the way to see Levinson. Then we got to headquarters, not to Walt's office, but down the long marble corridor that led back to other places.
He wants me to bring you back here, Diamond.
Where to?
The morgue.
The morgue?
Yeah, you heard of it.
I heard of it. What's this all about?
You'll see. In here, Shamus. Lieutenant!
Back here, Otis.
Come on, then.
Hello, Rick. Hi. Well, how's the other head look?
I'll let you know when it speaks to me.
Yeah. Meantime, I want you to take a look at someone.
In here?
Yeah, in here. You know who this is, Rick?
Oh, the poor little devil. The poor devil.
What do you know about him?
Well, he was manager of a boarding house. Cheap walk-up on Parker Avenue.
That we know. What else?
He was murdered, huh?
Shot right in the back.
Mm.
Rick, unless I knew you were tied in, I wouldn't have you here. Want to talk about it?
Somewhere else, Walt.
Sure. Come out.
Before I answer any more questions, Walt, how'd you tie me in?
He had one of your business cards in his hand. He was shot while he was standing at the phone in the hallway of that boarding house. Did he call you, Rick?
I didn't get a call from him.
Got any idea why he wanted you?
Maybe, maybe not. All depends.
On what?
Walt, listen.
I will, in my office. Wait outside, Otis. And I'm busy. Get it?
Sure, I get it.
Wait a second, Rick. Now, here's a gun. 38 police special. Take a good look at it.
I've seen it before. It's mine. How did you get it?
Ballistics report says this gun killed the little guy back there.
Did you check it for fingerprints?
Yeah, and they were all yours.
Hmm. Will you have Otis come visit me and bake a cake with a file in it?
Oh, cut it out, Rick. I know you didn't kill him, but I've got to tell the commissioner something. He's funny that way.
I was in my office when the guy was shot. I was out cold.
You got any proof?
For you or the commissioner?
For the commissioner, you egghead.
Listen on the way.
To where?
Have Otis bring the car around front. We're going to make a call on a guy named Morris Clinton and his errand boy, Christopher. On the way out, I told Walt the whole thing, how Christopher caught me off base, put me out, and then must have taken my gun to kill the little manager. But neither of us could come up with an answer to why. Why murder to keep me from finding Elaine Tanner? What was the connection between Clinton, his chauffeur, and the girl? I thought maybe Clinton would give her the answers when he learned there was a murder tapping at his door.
So you want to see Christopher, Lieutenant Levinson?
If you don't mind, Mr. Clinton.
Oh, no, that's all. I'll call him.
Real loud, Mr. Clinton.
Of course. Christopher?
You're sure he's here, Mr. Clinton?
Oh, yes, I am, of course, Lieutenant.
Call again.
Christopher?
I don't think he'll hear you.
Why not? I'm not deaf, Mr. Diamond.
Hmm?
Rick, is that Christopher?
Yeah, this is Chris, all right. And I owe him a haircut.
Now, lay off, Rick. I'll handle this. Christopher?
Yes, sir?
Where were you about 2 this afternoon?
Why, right here, working on the car.
Correction. Working on me.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, come on. Let's have it straight.
Mr. Clinton, what about this?
Christopher is right, Lieutenant. Yes, he's right.
Oh, you're scared stiff, Clinton, and you're lying.
I'm not. I wanted to go into town to keep an appointment.
And the fuel pump on the car was stopped up. I had to take it apart.
Oh, sure. And while you fixed it, Clinton stood right over you.
As a matter of fact, he did watch.
And it took all afternoon to fix it.
No, but when it was finished, it was too late for Mr. Clinton's appointment. He decided not to go.
How about that, Mr. Clinton?
Oh, yes, Lieutenant. Christopher hasn't been out of my sight all afternoon.
That's good enough for me. All right, Diamond, let's go.
What? Are you crazy?
No, that's why I'm putting the cuffs on you. I thought there was something fishy about your story. Gun taken away from you. People coming to see you, hiring you, firing
you. Walt, your stomach has gone to your head.
Never mind my stomach. Otis.
Yelton.
Put the cuffs on this Shamus.
Cuffs? On him?
Close your mouth, Otis. Put the cuffs on.
Walt, what in the world?
Diamond, I've been waiting for a chance like this to comb you out of my hair for good. Otis, the cuffs.
Yes, sir, Lieutenant. All right, Shamus, roll him out.
Mr. Clinton, thank you very much. Goodbye. Come on, Diamond.
No.
Lieutenant.
Otis, I told you to close your mouth.
Oh, I gotta breathe.
Oh, shut up and come on.
Walt.
Outside, Diamond. Get going.
You big bubblehead. What's the idea of making like a cop with me?
I kinda liked it. How'd I do?
What?
Good performance, eh?
Good performance. Oh, you big ham. You great big ham.
Well, Lieutenant, are we going to put the Shamus in the jug?
Shut up, Otis. Take the cuffs off him.
What?
Here, Otis. Start working.
You're right, Rick. Clinton was scared stiff, and for some reason, he backed Christopher's alibi.
Well, I've got an idea.
You better have. If I don't have something to tell the commissioner, I'll have to give up my ideas about a pension.
I'm going back to that boarding house.
Why?
Well, the manager was going to call me. It's just possible he got a hold of a lead on Elaine Tanner, but Christopher killed him before he had a chance to tell me.
Well, that makes sense.
Have you got a man there?
Yeah, a half.
Oh, good. I'll see you later.
Rick.
All right.
Please, for the sake of my stomach, don't slip up. You're my only suspect without an alibi.
Thanks, Walt. See you later.
Yeah.
No, Walt.
What?
Bottoms up on the bicarbonate. That's all the stuff there was in the basement, Diamond.
Oh, thanks, Mahaffey. Everything neatly bundled but this one pile. A little guy must have gone through it.
Got any idea what you're looking for?
No, give me a hand, will you?
Sure.
Newspapers, magazines. Oh, Mahaffey.
Uh-huh?
No one's been in here since the murder?
Nobody. I've been on the door.
And the manager had nothing on him.
Only your card.
That's funny, very funny. He wouldn't have tried to call me if he hadn't found something. Maybe he came across something in this pile of stuff. Didn't take it out and then...
Find something?
Yeah. This sheaf of withholding tax statements.
Mm-hmm. The kind that come in the bottoms of paychecks.
Made out to Elaine Tanner, paid by the Blue Falcon Nightclub.
That ain't far from here.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah, sure. Now I remember a kid that named Tanner. Yeah, used to work here in the line.
Thanks, bartender. Where's she now?
Well, Mr. Me, I know from nothing about her, but she was good friends with one of the dolls in the line, gal named Gladys.
Where can I find this Gladys?
Dressing room, straight back, turn left.
And knock on the door, huh?
What for? They dressed that way for the show anyway.
I'll keep both eyes closed.
Sure, straight back like I said, then first turn left.
What you want with her, Hanson? Why'd you get off here?
You tip me, sweetheart, but give me a rain check.
Who waits for rain? But, why do you want to see Elaine?
Well, maybe I want to tell her about some oil wells that came in.
Yeah? You don't look like the type talks about oil wells.
Honey, don't let the tassels on my shoes fool you.
Oh, you're cute. Yeah, I know where Elaine is.
Want to give?
Information?
Sure.
Oh, you've got a one-track mind.
Maybe I can't switch it over yet.
Okay, so I'll get a couple of days older meanwhile. Anyhow, I never did like her. So, I don't mind letting you know.
Know what, Gladys?
Well, maybe a month ago she quits this job. This dump.
All right, she quits. Go ahead.
Yeah. But before she quits, she's acting funny. Like the night we're going home together, walking along, and she's talking.
This is the last time I take this walk.
So, gonna fly to him from work?
I'm quitting.
Well, if you like to eat grass, go ahead.
I won't eat grass. You had a real mink coat, Gladys?
I could have, but his lawyer settled out of court.
I'll have one. I'll do all right.
You thinking about that guy Clinton who comes in the club?
Uh-huh.
Honey, there's wolves and there's wolves. Want to pick one with teeth?
He likes me.
Sure. Every time he sees you, he's got to push his eyes back in his head.
Chris is working for him. His chauffeur.
So this is new, so what?
Money. Lots of it.
Shakedown? Oh, now look, honey, they can give you trouble for that.
Not a shakedown. This is safe and sure. Chris figured it. He figured it, and I...
And what?
Nothing. Just forget it. Come on, let's get some coffee.
And that's all she says.
Uh-huh. Now, where can I find her?
Oh, I'll tell you where I think she is. Here's the address. I wrote it down.
Thanks, Gladys. I'll see you again.
Yeah. See more of me.
Is that possible?
This costume's for the first show. We save up for the second.
I'll be here for the last show.
Oh, what you said. So long, handsome.
A little while after Gladys gave the address, I was buzzing at an apartment door. I kept my fingers crossed, and then uncrossed them when the door opened.
Yes?
Hello there, Elaine.
Who are you?
Oh, the name's Hangtooth. Elmer Hangtooth.
Who?
Oh, I better come in.
Hey, what's the idea? Oh,
can't hear a thing you say, honey. My hearing aid just shorted out.
Now listen, wise guy.
Oh, Elaine. Chris sent me.
Chris?
Yeah. He said to tell you everything's okay. The heat's off.
How about that private eye?
Diamond? Richard Diamond?
Yeah, that's the one.
Honey, you'll never be any closer to him than you are right now.
I was afraid he'd quit. Hey, when's Chris coming?
Soon, I hope.
Oh. I've never seen you before. Is that right?
Well, you're young and life's full of surprises.
Uh-huh. I like surprises.
Nice.
Chris work you in on the deal?
Yeah. I did him a favor. Took care of Diamond. Like doing it, too. Well, by the way, what goes with you and Clinton?
Huh. Honey, we had a common interest.
Oh.
Books, dearie. Books. He had one I wanted. When I finished with him, I could have walked out with the furniture.
Yeah, I guess you could, baby. I guess you could.
Think so?
Why not?
What did you say your name was?
Well, the name's Appelknocker, Harold Appelknocker.
What? That's not what you said before.
Oh, so you have been listening. The real name is Diamond, Richard Diamond.
I see a kidder, huh?
Well, if that makes you laugh, this ought to bring back Mahjong. Here, take a look at my license.
What?
My membership card, the Hopalong Cassidy Club, my Flash Gordon beanie.
You dirty shamus, you stinking copper.
Easy, baby.
Let go of me.
Let her go, Diamond.
Chris.
Jackpot, Chris and Elaine all at once.
Diamond, get your hands off her. Get them off.
No.
That's better. Now, Elaine, before I fill him full of holes, tell me what he's doing here.
He said you sent him, Chris.
Sure, he would. Elaine, you ready to get out of here?
Yeah.
Okay, hand me a cushion from the sofa.
Want to take a nap, Chris?
I'll laugh at your funeral, Shamus. Hold a cushion over the gun. Nobody hears the shot.
Better not, Chris.
Elaine, start out. I'll be right behind you.
Yeah, all right, Chris.
Got the book?
Yeah.
What book?
Shut up. Get going, Elaine.
Chris, let's talk this over.
Funny, you just finished talking, Diamond.
Chris!
Elaine, what's
Elaine, give me my book. Give it to me!
Clinton, Dub, get out of the way.
Diamond, you...
Chris.
Well, I owed him that partner's hair.
Chris.
It's all right, Elaine. Just creased. I wouldn't think of depriving the hot seat of such a good customer.
My book. Where's my book? I want it. Give me my book.
Sure, Mr. Clinton. But I'm afraid you'll have to explain to the police first. A telephone call to the 5th Precinct brought Walt and Otis to my rescue. Otis used the siren. Loved it. I told Walt the book old man Clinton kept screaming about had me a little confused, and that I wouldn't be able to relax until he found out just where it fitted in the case. He promised to find out the answers as soon as he took Chris, Elaine, and Clinton back to the 5th Precinct. I told him to call me at Helen's.
Rick, what about that check for $1,000? Is it any good?
Well, the check's post-dated. I doubt if Mr. Clinton will honor it now. It's too bad. We could have celebrated.
So all you got for your trouble was $100 a day in expenses.
I'll get it. Grant's tomb, the general speaking.
Rick?
Yeah, Walt?
Yeah, you sitting down?
Why?
You can tear up that check Clinton gave you. He won't honor it. He's mad about having to go to jail.
Oh, I was way ahead of you about the check. Why did Clinton go to jail? What did he do?
You know that book he was yelling about?
What about it?
Well, it's an original Sir Francis Bacon manuscript.
How would you know?
I hate to admit it, but Otis told me what it was. You know, Otis is excuse me, Lieutenant. It's bibliophile. Shut up, Hammerhead.
Okay, so I work for nothing.
Rick.
Yeah?
The book was worth $30,000. It was stolen 18 years ago from the Fine Arts Library in Washington. Old man Clinton bought it from a fence. That's why he couldn't go to the police.
Oh, so Chris and Elaine hijacked it, huh? Probably had a sale for it.
Rick, there's a $1,500 reward for that book.
So what?
It's yours.
Hmm? Hey, wait a minute, Walt. Helen. Put your ear next to the receiver.
Oh, all right.
Walt, say that again.
Say what again?
What you just said.
Did Did I say anything?
Well, sure you did.
Are you sure?
Oh, now cut it out, Walt. Say it again about the reward.
Oh, that. There's a $1,500 reward for the book.
Thanks, Walt. Bye.
Bye.
Well, baby.
Well, we're going to celebrate after all. $1,500. Oh, Rick, that calls for a real celebration.
Sure.
Well, don't go away, darling. I'll be right back. I won't be long. Oh, Rick, there's a new song on the piano. Why don't you try it?
Okay, I set my pajamas and put on my prayers. Well, that's pretty silly, but... My baby kissed me goodnight, and I am glad to relate that by the time I got home, I was feeling great. I climbed up the door and opened the stairs. I set my pajamas and put on my prayers. I turned off the bed, crawled into the light, and all because you kissed me goodnight. Next morning I awoke and scrambled my shoes. I shined up an egg, then I toasted the news. I buttered my tie and took another bite, and all because you kissed me goodnight. By evening I felt normal, so we went out again. You said goodnight and kissed me. I hurried home and then I climbed up the door and opened the stairs. I set my pajamas and put on my prayers. I turned off the bed, crawled into the light, and all because you kissed me goodnight. By evening I felt normal, so we went out again. You said goodnight and kissed me. I hurried home and then I lifted the preacher, called up the phone, spoke to the dog and threw your ma a bone. Was midnight and yet the sun was shining bright, and I think I'll just kiss me goodnight.
Oh, that was lovely, Rick. Well, how do I look?
Oh, my, wonderful. What are you so dressed up for?
For the celebration.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Come on, let's go.
Oh, where are we going, Rick?
Oh, the Blue Falcon nightclub. We'll be just in time for the last show.
The Blue Falcon? Oh, but why pick that place?
Oh, but they've got a wonderful floor show.
Yes, but the costumes are... Oh, they're nothing.
Oh, what you said.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Ed Begley played Lieutenant Walt Levinson. Also in the cast were Wilms Herbert, Francis Robinson, Ted Osborne, Gene Bates, and Paul Dubov. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Today's show was written and directed by Russell Hughes. Dick Powell currently may be seen in the motion picture version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. This is Eddie King inviting you to be with us next Sunday at this same time when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. What's on NBC today? Ezio Pinza, dynamic singing star, plays his first starring dramatic role today on Theater Guild on the Air, with Madeline Carroll and Linda Darnell co-starred. And you'll also want to listen to the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show and The Adventures of Sam Spade right before Theater Guild. Don't forget, Ezio Pinza on Theater Guild on the Air today. It's all great entertainment today on NBC. Your tune for the stars on NBC.
Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Coney Island Nocturne. Yes, we have a story for you. Come right over. you're here. Good. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable? The manuscript is on this shelf. Here it is, Coney Island Nocturne. The very absorbing story of fingers that were nailed by death. Let's look at it under the reading lamp. When Mike Donahue brought Helen O'Malley to Coney Island for an evening of fun, he had only the best intentions. Naturally, he was an officer of the law, a detective, and she was his fiancée. But 3 hours later, they stood in the middle of a crowded, noisy carnival street. They were faced with a crisis of catastrophic proportions.
Mike, I'm afraid I'll never understand you. How many times have I told you never to keep your wallet in your hip pocket?
Yeah.
If you were just another palooka who didn't know any better, then, well, all right. But you're a member of the pickpocket squad. You're supposed to know.
Yeah.
Haven't you got anything to say?
How much money have you got on you?
Enough to get us home.
Helen, you're not going to tell the boys at the station
house. No, dear. I still expect to marry you someday. I want congratulations, not sympathy.
Yeah, well...
Hey, Mike.
Who was that?
Look over there, honey, and you'll see a character.
Hiya, Mike. I never thought I'd be glad to see you.
Benny Gould.
You recognize me, don't you? Put me over, pal. I've done a 60-day stretch in a workhouse, and I ain't a bit tired.
What are you doing down here, Benny? I thought your territory was Times Square.
I got a job. I'm going straight, Mike.
You don't say.
Yep. Got fed up looking through bars. So now I'm a barker for a show up the street. Hey, who's the tomato?
Helen O'Malley, Chipmunk. Do you consider me fruit or vegetable?
Huh? Oh, it's a riot, Mike. Is it permanent?
Put your hands behind your head, Benny.
What?
I'm going to frisk you. Now, do you want to put him up, or do I have to coach you?
I put him up. You can't got nothing on me. I'm on a level now, Mike.
You're an old-time pickpocket, Benny.
You know, the way you cops make a label stick. Once a crook, always a crook.
Mike, he wouldn't have your wallet.
Maybe not, Helen, but this dip can pick the whiskers off a sleeping cat and get away with it. Okay, Benny.
Thanks.
Come on, Helen.
Hey, wait a minute. Was she kidding about your wallet?
You're blocking traffic.
Come on, you don't have to be ashamed to tell me about it. I used to be in the business.
You wouldn't be giving it to us now, would you?
Look, I know every dip on the island. Give me a chance, maybe I'll get your wallet back for you.
Why, Chipmunk?
Because I'm a good citizen, that's why.
All right, Benny, let's go.
Hey, what is this, a pinch?
You were going to take me to the wallet, weren't you?
I got to find it first, Mike.
Suppose we do that together, huh?
Uh-uh. I ain't putting my finger on nobody. If you want your property, then you'll wait till I nab the guy that's got it, and then I'll bring it to you.
Don't argue, Mike. Be practical.
That's what I say, sister. I'm doing him a favor.
But how is it done, Chipmunk? Coney Island's a big place.
Well, I contact a few of the dips, and they spread the word around, that's all.
Okay, Benny.
It's going to take time, Mike. Meet me at the beach at the end of the boardwalk in a couple hours, 11 o'clock. And don't follow me.
We won't. Mike wants his wallet, and I want Mike to be happy. We'll meet you on the beach at 11 o'clock. Boardwalk and... Oh, I think we ought to adopt Benny, don't you? It was his suggestion.
Oh, we're not exactly alone, Helen.
Are you going to worry about that girl all night?
Well, she might be watching us.
She's fast asleep. Besides, she's a good 30 feet away. Come on, my bashful Romeo. Give me a...
It's
only me, Mike. I didn't want to keep you waiting.
Benny, don't you ever blow your horn when you come to a crossing?
Blow my... Oh, I get it. Well, I figured it didn't mean nothing. See, there ain't no moon out.
Have you got the wallet?
Not yet, pal.
You said 11 o'clock, and it's almost half past.
Okay, but Coney Island's got a lot of dips, and it's spread out all over. You got to be patient, Mike.
How much longer?
Listen, I got a couple of dozen guys working right now. Stick around for a little while. You ain't got nothing to lose with that tomato. I'll see you later.
Where you going?
My boss gets worried when he don't know what I'm doing. So long.
Now, Mike, where were we?
What do you mean, Helen?
When we were so rudely interrupted with a report about nothing.
Oh, let's go home, huh?
But, Mike...
Well, it's a long trip, honey, and I've got to be at the station house at 8 o'clock in the morning.
But your wallet...
Benny can send it to me. He knows where.
What was that?
Thunder, baby. We'll have to run.
I hope it pours. Help me up.
All right, come on.
I hope it pours for 40 days and 40 nights.
Let's go. Wait a minute. We can't leave that girl sleeping there on the beach.
No?
No, I'm going to wake her up.
Oh, of course.
Oh, don't be unreasonable, Helen. There's going to be a storm. How would you like to get drenched?
Why wait for a storm? You can dampen my spirits. Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
It's raining.
Already?
I just felt a drop on my nose. Let's get out of here, Mike.
Wait a minute, dear. Oh, Excuse me, lady. I think you'd better... Miss. Miss.
Why don't you just yell in her ear?
I don't think it would do any good,
Helen. Well, try it and find out. I just felt another drop.
You just can't wake up the dead by making a lot of noise.
Huh? Mike, she isn't...
She is, Helen. From head to foot.
The poor kid. And to think we were sitting only 30 feet away on the same beach.
Well, she was dead before we got here, Helen.
I'll never forgive myself, Mike, the way I talked about her. But if it hadn't been for that storm that never broke... Mike, I feel terrible.
Well, here's something to keep you busy.
Her handbag?
Yeah, look through it. She might have some identification.
All right.
I should get to a call box, you know. The local police might hear about this.
I'm not staying here alone.
I don't know what there is about the dead that scares
people.
Are
you sure she was murdered, Mike?
Her skull was crushed with the sandbag.
I can't believe a little thing like that could kill anybody.
Well, this little thing weighs about 10 pounds, honey, and it's packed solid.
Well, Mike.
What's the matter?
Look, your wallet.
Well, I'll be...
It was in her handbag.
Give it to me.
Of all things, that girl, a pickpocket.
20, 25, 30.
It sort of shatters your faith in people, doesn't it? So young and so pretty.
It's all here, Helen.
What's all here?
My money.
Oh, that's good.
Well, aren't you glad?
I'm too busy wondering about human nature.
We'll postpone it until we get a line on the girl. Come on, keep looking in her handbag.
Mike, darling, you may be a detective, but...
Then I'll look.
That's your job. Oh, dear, a pickpocket. Mike, what kind of people murder pickpockets?
All kinds.
Well, I mean, pickpockets are the lowest kind of crooks, the bottom of the underworld. They don't work in mobs, do they?
Sometimes. Maggie Blake.
What's that?
Her name on this identification card.
A pickpocket with a... It doesn't make sense, Mike.
It never does, honey, until you know what it's all about.
Do you?
No, but I'm going to find out.
That's nice. Where do we start?
First, we head to a call box. Get the homicide squad working.
As long as we do it together, dear.
And after that, we're going to Josie Johnson's Palace of Joy.
We're going where?
Read it. It's on this business card I found in Maggie Blake's handbag.
Oh. Well, as long as they advertise, it should be all right, shouldn't it?
Helen, what's wrong with you?
You'll never know, Mike, what I thought you were talking about.
It's you. I'm glad to see you again. Where have you been keeping yourself?
I went out for a walk, Josie.
You're a liar.
Hey, now look...
I said you're a liar. What are you going to do about it?
We're doing pretty good business, Josie.
So what?
Suckers like the show we give them.
I give them. You're only window dressing like a husband should be. But you're not even good window dressing. Put that bottle back.
I haven't had a drink all night, Joseph.
Put it back and lock that drawer.
Oh, just one?
There's the key on top of the desk. Use it. Between you and me, I don't care if you drink yourself into pink elephants. But you talk when you're drunk. And that's bad for me.
Oh, I don't know why I've got to take it from you.
Stop any time you want. There's a bed at the bottom of the ocean. Now, give me that key.
I started this business. It was my idea to set up the show.
That was so long ago, you've died 100 times since. Where have you been for the last 3 hours?
I told you.
Just walking around, huh? Inhaling the fresh Coney Island air.
I got tired sitting around the office watching you run
things. You said you were going out front for a couple of minutes to look around.
So I went for a walk. What's the difference? Came back and you weren't here, so I went out again.
How's Maggie Blake?
What?
Don't look so dumb. You were out with her, weren't you?
No.
Pete, this is Josie you're talking to, your wife. I've known you for a long time.
I haven't seen the girl, I tell you. You warned me to lay off, and I... Was she here?
Are you kidding?
Well, didn't she even bring in the take?
Are you calling me a cheat?
No, wait, Josie, wait a minute. You know I don't think you're a doubler, but Maggie always comes in a few times like the others, and she's pretty regular.
She was too busy tonight.
Not with me.
Shut up, Pete. You're through making a monkey out of me.
Josie, you're all wrong.
Everybody on the island's talking about you and Maggie. I'm telling you for the last time, I don't like it. I don't like people feeling sorry for me.
Well, why don't you give her the air?
Because she knows too much. Palace of Joy. Josie Johnson talking.
This is Bunny. I got a message for Pete.
What is it?
Tell him I can't find Maggie Blake. That's all.
That's enough, Benny. Nice going, Pete. Huh? When did you decide to use Benny as a stooge?
What do you mean, Joe?
What do you take me for, a two-year-old? You think I start believing because Benny calls up and says you've had him looking for Maggie?
Is that what he just told you?
You cheap chiseling sneak. Now get out of here. Go out front and help take tickets.
I'm sorry you did that, Josie.
Go on. I get sick looking at you.
You've been having things your own way too long, baby. Look out you don't drop dead one of these days.
Oh, you're very funny, Pete.
Yeah. I'm a real comedian, but don't laugh too hard. You're liable to fall out of this world.
There should be an office here, Helen. Another door besides the main entrance from the street.
Should be's don't count. So this is the Palace of Joy. Who's crazy, Mike? The world?
I've got no time to think about it now.
Oh, excuse me. The pickpocket squad has to solve a murder first. Life can wait.
I tell you, Maggie Blake has something to do with this place.
Just because you found that business card in her handbag.
Maybe.
You're driving without lights, darling. Business cards don't prove... Say, Mike.
Hmm?
There's Benny.
Where?
Talking to that man by that puppet stage.
Well, that's funny. I was looking over there only a minute ago. I didn't see anyone.
It could be magic, you know.
Ah, this must be the place he works in. And maybe that's Josie Johnson he's talking to. Come on, we'll ask him a few questions about Maggie Blake.
Anything you say, dear, you're the law. But who would come here to see a puppet show? This isn't exactly a playground for kids.
Oh, are you beginning to get ideas, too?
It just hit me, all of a sudden.
Maybe the shows they put on here are not for kids. You know.
I've been around, sweetheart.
What?
Concentrate on Benny and his partner. They've seen us and they've stopped talking.
Hiya, Mike. How'd you and the doll find out about me in the palace? You've been, asking questions?
We found the card in the storm, Benny.
Storm? What you talking about, Mike? There ain't been no storm.
Who's this guy, Benny?
Give me a chance. I'll introduce you to him. Pete, this is Mike Donahue, a deck from Times Square.
Well, pleased to meet you.
Pickpocket squad. The dame's his girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoy yourselves. I'll be seeing you.
Just a minute. I've seen you before someplace. Were you over in the lineup at police headquarters?
Who, me?
What's your full name?
Pete. Peter Blake.
Mike.
Peter Blake, eh? Any relation to Maggie?
Yeah. Yeah, she's my niece. But she's not in trouble, is she, Mr. Donahue?
Not anymore. Benny, where do I find Josie Johnson?
The boss?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it, Mike. You're acting just like a cop on the prowl.
You recognize all the signs, don't you? Get Josie Johnson.
The boss ain't here.
Benny, you want me to be nice to you?
I'm telling the truth, Mike. I came back looking for the boss myself. Pete told
me... That's right, Mr. Donahue. Now, would you mind? I'd like to know about my niece.
She's been murdered, Mr. Blake.
Murdered?
Yeah.
You're kidding, Mike. Not that cute little kid that used to...
Oh, Maggie.
Take it easy, Pete. That's not going to get you no price.
Oh, but why? Why should anybody kill Maggie? She never...
Mr. Donahue, where is she?
At the morgue by now. Would you like to tell me what she never did?
I'm going to claim her body. I'll see you later if you're still here.
Mike, you're not letting him go, are you?
Why not, Helen?
But he didn't even ask how his niece was killed.
I noticed it. I noticed the tears, too. They were the kind you find on a crocodile.
So, why didn't you hold him?
Darling, a policeman doesn't hold everybody. Does he, Benny?
Well, pick on me, Mike. I don't know nothing about it.
Sure.
Okay, so don't... Give me the eye like I was ready for the wagon. I'm on your side, ain't I? I'm trying to get your wallet back for you, ain't I?
Keep trying, Benny.
Okay, I'll go out and contact some more depths. Stick around, I'll let you know what comes up.
Mike, why didn't you tell him you've got the wallet?
Then Benny would have stuck around, too. And I think we ought to be alone.
Here, with all these people?
They won't pay any attention to us. They're too busy having fun. Well, we're going to get busy, too.
What do you mean?
How did Benny and Pete get to this puppet stage without my seeing them? Magic? Maybe. But I've got a hunch. We find out how, and we'll find out why and who killed Maggie Blake.
Oh, you're back again? What's the idea, sneaking in through that alley door?
There's a dick out front, Josie.
Yeah?
He was asking for you. Benny and I played dumb. We didn't tell him you were here in the office.
What was he asking for me for?
Murder.
Huh?
Maggie Blake. You killed her, Josie.
Have you gone crazy? Now, wait a minute,
I've been waiting a long time, baby. You shouldn't have done it. You're going to have to leave town now.
We'll see about that.
That was some act you put on before. Getting hot because I was out with Maggie, but you knew I wasn't, didn't you, Josie? You knew she was dead. You and knew exactly where she was because you'd let her.
Hello, there. Express? I want the city editor.
You thought I was sweet on her. Well, sure, I was. I was nuts about her. But you didn't have to kill her. She was going to get married. Yeah, she found herself a boyfriend, a good, clean kid. She was going to quit the racket. She told me this afternoon, Josie.
City editor? Mrs. Josie Johnson. I own the Palace of Joy. I've just been told... All right, I'll wait.
I wasn't going to tell you about it. I was going to let her get away first. I was going to make sure she lived to get married, but
Shut up, Pete. Hello? Yeah, Josie Johnson. I've just been told that one of my employees was murdered. Maggie Blake. On the beach? Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Well, it checks, don't it, Angel?
She was slugged with a sandbag, Pete.
How soon you going, Josie?
Gone where?
Away. You're not waiting for the cops, are you?
I didn't kill her.
That dick out front thinks you did. He asked for you.
Yeah, and you told him I wasn't here. You wanted him to think I'd taken a powder.
Why don't you? I'll give you enough dough to get out of the country.
You'll give me.
This is my show now. Meet the new boss.
You don't say.
Yeah, I do.
That's for the new boss, Pete.
Why, you red-headed... What's that?
Come on, open up!
Detective Mike Donahue.
Who told him about that door behind the puppet stage?
I'm not waiting to find out. So long, Josie, and good burning to you.
Not as long as you're alive, Pete.
Don't run so fast, baby. You'll go through the wall.
Open that door and let's get out of here.
I'm glad you built that other door solid. For a louse, you used to have good ideas.
Look around before you go into that alley.
It's clear. You got the keys. Come on, have you got them?
I got them.
Okay, give them to me. I'll lock this door on the outside.
Gloria, whoever put that door up...
Mike, you're wonderful.
Tell that to my commissioner. There was a man and woman in here. We heard the voices. Locked. They didn't go out this way.
You said there was something behind that puppet stage. But why an office? What kind of a business
that
would they...
That door over there. It's the only way out.
Mike, is there something in this Palace of Joy besides Joy? Well?
Flight of steps going down the cellar.
Are we going down that flight?
Yeah. Here's the light switch.
Oh, I'd feel a lot safer, Mike, if there were more than two of us.
Let's not think about that now. Come on, follow me.
Mike.
Stop worrying, Helen. There's nobody down here.
How can you be so sure? All these boxes piled in rows up to the ceiling. Suppose those two people are behind one of these rows.
They're not waiting to see the whites of our eyes, honey. If they were down here, they... wait a minute.
I'd rather go, Mike.
Sandbag. Just like the one Maggie Blake was killed with.
What difference does it make? There's a puppet stage upstairs. Why can't they keep an extra sand? Oh. Oh. I see what you mean.
Thanks. You're almost as slow as I am. Sandbags are used to hold down the curtain. The one on the beach had to come from here.
But there are other puppet shows at Coney Island.
But only one Palace of Joy that Maggie Blake was connected with. We met her uncle upstairs, remember?
Yes, dear. Shall we go now?
Not yet. There must be some way that man and woman got out. Let's turn this corner.
I'm sure we won't find prosperity. Those men! All those men standing against the wall!
What's the matter with you, Helen? Can't you see they're only dummies?
I don't care that they are. I'm not taking another step.
All right, stay here.
With pleasure. Those filthy, horrible-looking things.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly what they are. Helen, where are you?
Sitting down, Mike, behind the pile of boxes.
Well, listen, these are training dummies. The kind the old-time pickpockets used to teach newcomers. Come over here, and I'll show you the lights that flash on when the student is clumsy. Palace of Joy, huh? Josie Johnson's running a school for pickpockets. That means that Benny is
Figure
one of the...
Figure it out for yourself, Cupcake.
Hmm?
My, do you look surprised?
Who are you?
Josie Johnson. Now, turn around, Mike, and I'll take your pretty 38 out of your pretty holster. Just keep your hands up high.
Where's Helen, the girl that was down
here? She's resting. She collided with the butt of my gun, and it knocked her out.
Why did you do it?
I got jealous. You're Such a handsome guy for a cop.
You know all about me, eh?
Not all, Cupcake. Give me time. I've only just met you.
I'm going to go look for Helen.
Not without my permission.
Now listen, she might be barely hurt.
She'll recover in time for the wedding. How would you like to be a hero?
You make a practice of hitting women on the head.
Mike, I'm trying to get you a medal. I know who killed Maggie Blake.
Yeah? I guess it was somebody else, wasn't it?
It was. And if you'll go quietly, I'll take you right to him.
Where?
He's in my apartment, and he's dying to meet you. Go ahead, Cupcake. Turn the knob.
How about the key, Josie?
I never lock my door. I'm a free trader.
Okay.
Forward, Mike. I'll be right behind you. Loaded to the hilt.
You're so persuasive.
You'll admit I've got a way about me.
Yeah, so I see. Is that the guy who's dying to meet me?
That's him, sprawled out over that table, drunk again. Pete. Hey, Pete.
Say, that's Maggie Blake's uncle.
What? Who told you that?
He did.
Well, he'll tell you differently. That's Pete Johnson, my husband. Wake him up.
Well, I'll get him to sit up first. A knife in his chest.
Pete!
He can't hear you, Josie. He's dead.
Killed himself.
Yeah.
He couldn't take the rap. He must have done it just before we came in. He's still got his fingers around the knife.
Will you stop kidding me?
What do you mean?
Your initials are on the handle. J.J.
So what? The knife was on that table and he took it.
Josie, you ought to know what happens right after a person dies.
He's dead, so?
His body relaxes. If Pete killed himself, he wouldn't be holding onto the knife.
Huh?
You catch on fast, don't you? Pete's fingers were wrapped around that knife after he was killed.
You're not going to say I did it, Mike.
Who else? You brought me here to arrest Pete for murder. But you knew he was already dead. Set up to look like suicide.
You're raving, mister.
That was going to be your alibi. Pete couldn't take the rap. Your own words, Josie.
Yeah. Well.
How many bullets do I get?
I ought to give them all to you, both guns.
That means I get a hero's funeral.
Turn around and walk to that wall.
I get it in the back, huh? Gangster style.
That wall, Mike.
All right. But remember, no practice shots.
You're pretty cool for tamale.
Death in the line of duty. It makes great newspaper copy.
Turn your face to the wall. Now just stand there and don't move. And don't look. So long, Cupcake.
Hey, what's the idea? Josie, you'll never get out of New York. You know that. Well, and she told me she never locks her door. Oh, it's all right, Helen. Everything's all right now.
Mike, what hit me?
The butt of a gun. Next time you'll stick close to me.
Who did?
Josie Johnson. She locked me in her apartment.
Oh.
Lucky for me, there was a window facing a street. You should have heard me yell.
Josie Johnson. Mike, did you say she?
Mm-hmm. Her glamorous redhead.
Shh. Mike.
Shh. Somebody's down here.
The redhead?
I don't know. These boxes are in the way. Can you get up without screaming?
If you help me.
All right, then. Easy now.
Oh. I made it.
Come on your toes. No more talk. If it's Josie, she's got two guns. One of them is mine. Going someplace, Benny?
Look out, Mike. She's got a gun on her
coat. You'll get a chance to use it, will you, Benny?
I got my hand.
Let go of the gun.
Yeah. I didn't know that was you and the doll, Mike. I wouldn't pull no gun on you.
But you did. That's a lot of money you packed into that suitcase. Do you expect to spend it in one lifetime?
You gotta listen to me, Mike.
I don't got it, pal, but I'll be glad to.
Look, I found out that Josie and Pete was operating a pickpocket school. When the kids was ready, they used to send them out to dip.
Tell me about the money.
Well, the kids used to bring in the whole take to Josie. She'd give him a cut and put the rest of it in that hole behind that hunk of concrete.
How does a barker find out about such things, Benny?
I heard Josie and Pete talking.
And you knew exactly where to go for the money.
You gotta listen to me, Mike. I ain't no killer.
Come on, let's take a walk.
No, wait, I don't want that dough. I was just gonna take it because, well, you know, it was there and I figured...
You should have made sure Pete was dead before you left him.
What?
It's not so easy to find the heart with a knife. Sometimes you miss by a fraction of an inch. And you wind up in the electric chair.
What are you giving me, Mike?
Pete Johnson, otherwise known as Peter Blake, famous uncle.
He ain't dead.
He is now... But a lot of people heard his dying statement. Would you like to know what it was?
You're kidding me.
Don't look around, Benny. There's no way out of this cellar except through
you're
me.
You're kidding me, you dirty copper. You're kidding me.
Let's go, Weasel. The show's over. And you put on a pretty good one. It's too bad for you. It didn't click.
Worst part of going to Coney Island, the ride home in the subway.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Benny's confession sort of makes it worthwhile. Imagine that chipmunk having the whole thing planned from the beginning.
Yeah.
Picking your pocket and then asking us to meet him on the beach where he'd left Maggie Blake's dead body. What a character. And all for a few measly dollars.
30,000.
I even thought he'd get away with it. You'd suspect Josie and Pete Johnson of Maggie's murder, and he'd be... Mike, you didn't tell me how he got to Pete to kill him.
I guess I'll have to, won't I? Well, he followed them to their apartment after they left the office.
Yes.
Then he phoned Josie and told her to help him frame Pete. She came back to the palace looking for me. Well, the rest is history.
Yes, but Mike, what made you suspect Benny?
Two things, sweetheart. Josie had a chance to kill me and didn't. And Benny going for the money in the wall. Can I go to sleep now, dear?
One more thing. What happened to Josie?
She was picked up. Now, darling...
All right, honey. Mike?
Hmm?
Is this your wallet?
Where'd you get it?
Out of your hip pocket. For a member of the pickpocket squad, you are about the easiest pickings I've ever known. Good night, dear.
And so closes tonight's story, Coney Island Nocturne. Stedman Coles wrote the radio script. Roger Bauer produced and directed. Walter Kinsella played Mike Donahue. Joan Alexander was Helen O'Malley. Gene Ellen was heard as Josie Johnson. Bill Quinn was Peter Johnson. And Joseph Julian was Benny Gould. Oh, I beg your pardon. Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Yes. Come over a week from tonight. Good. We have the very exciting story of a sparkle that bloomed into murder. It's called Death Deals a Diamond. In the meantime... Well, in the meantime, there is a new Crime Club book available this week and every week at bookstores everywhere. Yes, it's available now. Fine. And we'll look for you next week.
This program came from New York. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.